At 8:23, this is KERA News. I'm Sam Baker. A candidate who lost in last month's Democratic primary for Dallas County District Attorney has filed a lawsuit alleging voter fraud. Elizabeth Frizzell lost by 589 votes to former State District Judge John Crusoe. She claims ineligible, illegal, and fraudulent mail-in ballots included in the vote total cost her the win and that the Democratic primary should be declared void. Doing so would trigger a special election. Frizzell filed suit yesterday against Crusoe, also Dallas County DA Faith Johnson, the county elections administrator, and the Dallas County Democratic Party chair. The Dallas County DA's office is investigating whether someone committed fraud in the handling of more than 1,200 mail-in ballot applications from West Dallas, Grand Prairie, and parts of the Oak Cliff section of Dallas. Some family attorneys say they expect a rush at the end of this year to finalize divorces. That's because of a change in the tax code regarding alimony payments. Tom Benning with the Dallas Morning News explained on public radio's Texas Standard.
How the current rules have worked is that alimony is deductible for the person paying it, and then it is taxable for the person receiving it. These rules, as passed in the tax bill, would flip-flop that. Starting in 2019.
Couples who divorce before the end of this year, along with those already divorced, would be locked in under the old rules. Parents are generally clued in to the idea of limiting the amount of time their kids spend in front of screens. The science is unclear, though, about how much is too much. NPR's Anya Kamaritz is the author of the book, The Art of Screen Time. She talked about the research with KERA's Chris Boyd.
There was a time when parents were warned about the dangers of movies and radio and TV for the healthy development of children. There's no question that those once new forms of media changed what it meant to be a kid. Is there something different about mobile technology?
Well, yes and no. So as you mentioned, you know, there's a history of ways that we as a culture react to these new technologies coming in. It always does seem that the kids have even more of an affinity for new tech than even adults do. What's different this time? I mean, the ubiquity, right? The mobile devices, they're coming with us everywhere. And the handheld devices with the touch screen technology do seem to be incredibly intuitive even for young infants. And that's something that is giving a lot of parents pause.
So you remind us that there are two ways to look at the impact of screens, right? One is that no safe level of exposure for children has been established. It's all potentially toxic. The other is to look at it a little bit like food. It's over the top to imagine that a small amount of even junk media is likely to cause real harm. But the job of parents is to help people understand the difference.
And we don't necessarily have, you know, all the information, a full nutritional breakdown, if you will, to go on with this. But I do kind of, I talk about it in that way because I do think that, you know, it's overblown to think that, except in very special cases, that there really is such a thing as toxic effects from media.
And there are, you know, among the children of America, there are what you call dandelions and then there are orchids. What do those terms mean?
So this is a theory that's been put forth by social scientists who study media effects to explain a puzzling reality, which is that although we see that media is everywhere, we can tell that it can have profound effects, and yet the effects that we've investigated tend to be pretty small. And so the theory that's come forth is that most of our kids in this digital media-rich environment are like dandelions. They're pretty resilient to what they're taking in. And a small percentage, however, may be more sensitive. They may be like orchids, and they may be particularly drawn to that kind of media, and that media might also not be the most beneficial for their development.
So how do we know if we have an orchid?
Well, the fact is that you can pragmatically observe your kid and see some pretty clear red flags. The biggest, most well-defined effects from media have to do with sleep and obesity. So we see that when kids use screens late at night, when they use them past their bedtime, it really interferes with sleep. And we see that large amounts of screen time over 2 hours a day can increase the risk of obesity. But putting those two, and those are big categories aside, when your kid seems to have a problematic relationship to their screen media. So when it seems to be the only thing they prefer to do, their most preferred activity, the only thing that helps when they have a bad day, if you see them being explosive when it's turned off and they get angry, if they're sneaking around to use it, those are some of the red flags to tell you that your kid might be one of those orchids.
Scientists think they understand why screens make it harder to sleep even after we turn them off, because they emit this kind of blue light that makes our brains think it's early morning. They're not quite as clear as to why screens are related to obesity. It seems like that's obvious, too.
Yes, Chris, I found this so interesting and a great example of the complexity of this research. Scientists have not been able to corroborate the couch potato theory, right? The obvious assumption would be that kids who watch more TV are moving their bodies less. And rather than being able to corroborate that, they are looking at the idea that kids are susceptible to the very unhealthy advertising messages on a lot of kids' media, as well as mindless eating while watching. So the notion there is that when you are watching TV and you're snacking while you're watching, you're not tuning into satiety cues and your actual natural appetite. So it's a lot more complicated than, you know, might seem from our intuition.
I was really surprised to learn there is so little definitive research on any of this. And part of the problem, you note, is that researchers can't assign like a subgroup of babies to watch TV for 3 hours a day or play on iPhones. It's not ethical.
Yes, that's right.
What happened when researchers tried to ask parents to limit the amount of screen time their kids had?
Right. So you would think you could study it this way, right? Get the parents to turn the TV off and then investigate the effects on the kids. Dimitri Christakis from the American Academy of Pediatrics, who tried to do such a trial, said it just didn't work. The parents ended up reducing screen time by about 20 minutes per week, and it just wasn't enough to make a difference that could be investigated in a scientific way.
NPR's Anya Kamenetz. She's the author of the book, The Art of Screen Time. You can hear more of her conversation with Chris Boyd at think.kera.org. In the forecast, rain, 90% chance of it through tonight, a high near 74 this afternoon, overnight low near 57. Then tomorrow, more rain, 80% chance of it with a high near 65. It's 71 degrees now in Dallas, 66 in Fort Worth, 63 in Wichita Falls, and 70 degrees in Tyler.